Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Joining me today, Mark Guidi, I've got the legend that is Open Goal's very own Simon Ferry. Simon, how are you?
What's happening, mate? All right?
Well, of course, no surprise it's Simon that you're here to join me today. No chance of you getting a last minute move, is there?
Jim actually texted us last night saying there's been a bit of interest, mate, so I might need to shoot halfway through this.
Aye, who's in for you?
Elgin and Fraserburgh.
Aye. You've got to play in the cup tie?
No, cup tied. So.
Oh, cup tied, that's right. Against them back last week. Hey, what do you think of this old transfer day deadline business? Simon, you've been involved in it before the deadline. Came in and you've been involved in it since. Yeah, a fan of it.
I was just going to say, to the first time it's me and you in the room. Remember what happened last time? Me and you were locked in. Try and keep your clothes on this time, right? Transfer deadline day. Oh, love it, mate. Love it. Can't beat it. Watch it every last day of the window. Always stick Sky Sports News on. As soon as I get in for about 4 o'clock, sit there till about 2 a.m, still waiting on deals going through. Even though they're not gonna. But Sky have got it spot on, ain't they? Big Jim White, the big show pony's brilliant at it, isn't he? I really like it, enjoy it.
What do you think when you say, you know, you're glued to the television screen, you're watching it coming in, you know, what's your thoughts when you see these moves happening? You know, because you've kind of been in the shoes of a footballer and you're waiting to see, and you've got, you're maybe down to the last few hours to get out of a club that you know you need to get out of, and there's so many different components that you're relying on to get the move.
I'll tell you what happens. Every single football player in Britain sits and watches that, right? And see, every time a transfer comes through, you're like, that, how has he got that move there? He is absolutely nicked a move. Coming on to the first, we used to have a group chat, and all the boys would sit and watch it, transfer deadline day. And it would just be guys getting, see every guy that got a move, it'd be about 4 or 5 boys just caning him. I've played with him, he's hopeless, how's he got that move?
But the whole, was this at Swindon?
Everywhere. And the next day all the boys come in the dressing room, they're talking about it, how guys that got moves, and obviously we're jealous as well that they've got their big move, do you know what I mean? But that goes on, believe me, every player in the country will be sitting watching that thinking.
Give me a move that you couldn't believe.
A move that I couldn't believe? Well, when we were at Swindon, my first year we got to the playoff final, League One. And then the second year we lost Gordon Greer, Billy Painter and Charlie Austin. Three of our best players. And the next season we had an absolute nightmare. So it got to the last day of the transfer window in January. No, sorry, in the summer. Desperate. We needed a striker big time. So we were on the office the last day, speaking to one of the guys in the office. He always knew who we were trying to get. He says, right, between us, there's three players that we're trying to get. This one, that one, and that one. And all the boys were saying to each other, listen, see, if it's the third one, we are down. You better get one of the two. I'll not name the guy's name anyway. So we're all sitting in the group chat. Sure enough, about 5 to 12, who do we sign the third name on it? We all just text each other saying, League Two will be terrible next year.
And did you go down?
It went down. Guy never scored a goal.
what summer was that?
That was 2012.
So we'll just need to go back and check the record. It's 2012. See the striker that Swindon signed, and then we can name and shame Sy and all these teammates. What about ones in terms of the wow factor? You know, when you've been sitting, you know, an hour to go and stuff. I mean, one that sticks out for me, and it wasn't the wow factor, I actually felt sorry for him, was it Odin Wingy?
Odin Wingy, oh my God.
Hanging outside QPR's going, waiting for Harry Redknapp, wasn't it?
First guy to have a breakdown on his motor, wasn't it? What, did he just drive to the ground hoping to push the move through? The hangs people all day for a move, eh? But agents must come into it. His agent must have said to him, get yourself out there and we'll push this through. But I feel sorry for the players as well. I mean, you're sitting there by your phone with your family all waiting. Might need to move halfway across the country, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The one as well, Leicester, remember the last, was it 10 seconds I missed out on the boy face Sporting Lisbon?
14 seconds late, and that's why he wears a number 14 now.
Is it really?
Yep, it was 14 seconds late registering it.
And he couldn't play, so he signed, but he couldn't play till the next transfer window. Yeah. See, stuff like that's madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
What ones do you remember, any?
I remember when I was at the Sunday Mail back in the day, a couple of ones, last minute, drama ones, Barry Ferguson from Rangers to Blackburn Rovers. Rangers had just got into the Champions League, they'd beaten Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. In the playoff to get into the Champions League, and then there was a few teams sniffing about Barry at that time. It was Aston Villa, there was Everton, top maybe Liverpool, and he ended up going to Blackburn Rovers. Graham Souness signed him, and the Sunday Mail, we'd get a deal to do Barry's story, so he was down in Blackburn with him, but he travelled down still not putting pen to paper, so there was a lot of work to get done to get it over the line, even though the transfer fee was agreed. So I remember being with Barry at that point. It was a good insight into it all, as you say, with the agents and stuff. And then in the summer of 2006, Stan Petros moved from Celtic to Aston Villa. Just being with him last minute, Martin O'Neill taking him, record fee around about £7 million, but again, just trying to get it over the line on the day. Martin O'Neill trying to re-sign him back to the guy that he had at Celtic. So you can see the anxiousness in the player and the agent, and their families are sitting there saying they're committed to the move. Everybody knows that pretty much they want it, so they need to get it over the line, uh-huh, because the other side of it is, if it doesn't go through, you're going back up the road with your tail between your legs. So there's a lot of different things.
Is it an exciting time for journalists as well?
It's great. It's good. It definitely is. You get a few wrong. You know, I don't think I ever get any wrong, but there's people there that do get one or two wrong. Just depends when you get up in the morning, if you can find your kite and just whatever direction it points in and send it away and fly. But it's good. A wee bit of pressure because you've got a buzz. Uh-huh. Try to get the story first, find out who's going where. But it's changed now because of the internet. Everything's online. The clubs of players have got their own social media outlets, you know, if they want to leak something and stuff like that. So the kind of dynamics of the old-fashioned way of getting a story, obviously, has changed. But as you say, the journalists are the same. You know, you're sitting watching Sky, you're watching the yellow ticker tape at the bottom to see what's maybe going through, what's not going through, and you're just, you know, trying to get to the front of the story if you can. I don't think I was ever involved in any of your transfers, Simon. No, I can't remember.
Mine's actually went down to the last week.
Did it?
I think everyone was waiting with bated breath in Scotland and England to see if it would go through. But Celtic Lenny actually came to me and said about a week to go, because it's funny, because see your agent speaking to the club, but obviously it probably shouldn't have, but one minute he's saying, oh, it's going to happen, and the next minute he's texting me about a week to go and he's like, nah, it's not happening, Swindon are not willing to pay what Celtic are wanting. So I was desperate to get away, desperate. I knew what Swindon were going to give us money wise I knew I was going to be playing every week, the players that would sign and stuff like that. So I just straightened at the manager's office begging, basically you're begging, do you know?
So you were begging Neil to get away?
To get away, because you want to play, do you know what I mean? I played 50 games that year. We'd done really well, got to League One playoff final, as I said, and next year I got relegated.
Okay, whether it's yourself or a teammate that you were close to, a move that you had, it was there, it was at your fingertips, and at the last minute it was taken from you or one of your teammates, who you've seen the agony up close.
Well, that was it as well. It was Paul Caddis that was coming with me. Remember, Paul Caddis was at Blackburn now. And he fell out with Lenny. So, Lenny, it was only a joint deal. It was only going to happen, it was a joint deal. So he's came to me, he's like, I've just fell out with Lenny. And I was like, you kidding me on? That's me done. You've done me. There's no way we're going now. But then, obviously, stuff gets agreed between the clubs and it happened at the last minute. But a couple of times at Swindon, Charlie Austin could have went a couple of times and we were all shitting ourselves in case he did go. And it fell through a couple of times and he was devastated, obviously, but we were so happy. But we couldn't tell him that because he was devastated. But like I say, he basically had all his bags packed, ready to go, and Swindon knocked it back a couple of times. So seeing a player in that situation, you can see how much their head goes after it as well.
Yeah.
You may as well you get someone sorted and let them go if they want to go, because it's no good for anyone at the club.
You think as well, if you are a player, you're thinking, whatever they are, you know, you've always got a rough idea of what you're going to get, and you're thinking double, treble, quadruple your wages. You just want to go and get it done, don't you?
You've got the money spent in your head before you've even got it, haven't you? You know what I mean? It's a short career, and if you get a chance to double or treble your money, it's a no-brainer that you want to go.
So bring us up to date. What do you make of the business done so far in Scotland? We've still got pretty much 36 hours to go, but what do you make of some of the moves that have gone through already?
I thought it was a great signing yesterday for Celtic, Musonda. Seen him playing the league a couple of times last year. Was it Betis? Played with, looks like a really talented boy. Obviously, I think he'll do really well up here. I think Celtic need a spark. I need a spark for somewhere, an attacking player especially. I went to the Brechin game, although they won 5-0, it was a bit laboured for me. There was nobody really that got the crowd off their feet, and I think he could do that. On the other end, I think Rangers have done really well as well. I watched the game Sunday and I thought the boy Goss was really good. Mm-hmm.
A lovely left peg, hasn't
he? Lovely left foot, isn't he? Yep. He was just sticking balls on people's toes. I think they've missed a player like that, a guy that's got a really good range of passing. I mean, Dorans and Jack are busy and they're good, but he's a proper passer, I think, and the wee guy Cummins, I think, will score goals. Like I said on the podcast last week, if he gets chances, he'll score goals, and he showed that on Sunday.
And they've also brought in Russell Martin, they've brought in Jamie Murphy, they've brought in Greg Docherty, all British lads, and from the outside, looking in, it's early days, only one or two games going, but they look to be signings that are certainly going to enhance that Rangers team.
Definitely, it's guys that know what the club are about, innit? I mean, you see Greg Docherty when he comes on, you can see how much it meant to him coming on, done well when he came on. I know Jamie Murphy played against him down there, very good, direct, quick, he'll get goals for wide areas. And I think Russell Martin will cruise it, to be honest. I think he looked quite assured, he looks calm on the ball, and he looks to be a leader. And I think most of the players, your Docherty's, the centre-half Martin, and Cummins are characters as well. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be a good bit of dressing room, and I think they've done good business.
And over in the capital, we've got Hearts and Hibs, when you hear Craig Levein and Neil Lennon, they've brought in one or two, but they're still saying they wouldn't mind. As every manager says, they're still looking for one or two more, so it's going to be frantic over there as well.
I think so. I think Hart's done great to get Naismith in, obviously. Top player for this level. And I think Hibs are desperate for a striker, aren't they? Desperate for a striker. I think they've done really well on Saturday at Celtic Park. But they need somebody to put the ball away. Same as the derby against Hearts. I thought they played all right, but they just never really looked like there was going to be that guy that you knew was going to get a goal. I think you go through Celtic and Rangers now, you think Cummins will get a goal. Obviously Dembele, Griffiths, he'll score goals. And I think that's the difference between Hearts and Hibs and Celtic and Rangers just now. Maybe Aberdeen as well.
Can you see when Aberdeen, Derek McKenzie is digging his heels in, saying that Scott McKenna's not going anywhere, which you'd imagine that Aberdeen will stand by him. They had the good news yesterday of getting the planning permission approved for the new stadium by the council, the new training set up. So for Aberdeen, they'll want to keep the good news flowing. They won't want to lose any of their players between now and tomorrow night.
No, definitely no. The big boy McKenna obviously scored an absolute belter. Had to put another couple of million on his price tag. But Aberdeen's another one. I think a striker, innit? I think they need a striker. I think they've tried so many. I think they've got the boy Maynard for Bristol. Cardiff, Nicky Maynard had played for, but he's not really done it. The big boy Stockley never really done it. I think, again, what sets them aside for Celtic and Rangers, I think they need a goal scorer, somebody that's going to get you goals, 20, 30 goals a season.
Can you see the second half of the season? We've got, 14, 15 league games to go. Can you see Celtic and Rangers? I mean, Celtic have got 11-point gap, but can you see Celtic? I mean, you're just kind of pulling away from the rest over the next 7 or 8 games?
I can. I think it'll be Celtic and Rangers for 1 and 2. I think with the signings that I've made, they've too much quality for Aberdeen, Hibs and Hearts. I think the three will be fighting out for third and fourth.
And finally, on Rangers, Morelles once again, linked with a move away this time to the Chinese Super League. Will he be wanting to stay, or will he be sitting, as you were saying a minute ago, thinking about Akibe, all the money that he's going to spend?
How much do you think he'll be getting offered over there?
Well, it could be plenty, couldn't it?
I don't think he's got any alliance to Rangers, isn't it? He's wanting the big 5-bedroom house, well, 10-bedroom house if he goes over there, but I'd imagine he'd head to be turned to the foreigners, you know, they're like, he's not here because he loves Rangers, is he? He's here because he's been offered more money than he got in Finland. He'll now be getting offered more money in China. If he's got the chance, I'm sure he'll be away.
Well, we're now going to be joined by the legend that is Jim White from Sky Sports News. Jim has kindly agreed to come on the programme to come and join us on Open Goal, keeping the ball on the ground with our friends at William Hill. Jim, thanks very much for joining us. As I say once again, it's a real privilege and a pleasure to have you on. I know I've interrupted you. I know you're just in the middle of getting the yellow tie on and the makeup on. How's things for you?
No problem. Yeah, it's looking good, Mark. It's getting busy. The day before deadline day is always a significant one. And today is no different. You know, it's a situation whereby this needs to happen for that to happen. Certain pieces of the jigsaw need to fall into place for certain deals to happen. You know what it's like, but it's going to be interesting. Just off the phone moments ago, just before I joined you, Paul Barber, the chief executive of Brighton, who just confirmed to me that at no time did Brighton bid for Moussa Dembele of Celtic. There had been reports, you guys will be up there, and you know that there were reports that Brighton were in for Dembele. Maybe 18 million was agreed before between the two clubs.
Sure.
But Paul Barber insists, no, that did not happen. At no time was that on the card.
You've mentioned the busyness of the transfer deadline day. I mean, on Sky Sports News now, Jim, it's become a media phenomenon. You know, every supporter tunes into it for that 24, 48-hour period. How do you feel being the main man, the focus of it, getting clapped into the building tomorrow afternoon, you know, the guard of honour.
Yeah.
It's great show business, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's become that. I mean, it's become these 2 days in the sporting calendar year have become huge, Mark. And it's great. I mean, it's extremely flattering. It's wonderful, right, to be at the heart of it and right in amongst it. But when it comes to the actual part of going on air, I can tell you it's an absolute blur. Yeah. And you've got to keep pace with what is going on around and about you. But no, I mean, I always say it, get into it, Mark, expect the unexpected, and tomorrow will be no different. This will be a big one. I'm looking forward to it. I think some of the big clubs are going to do business. Some of the clubs trying to avoid the drop from the Premier League because of the lucrative draw of the Premier League. They want to stay in it. So they'll be doing business. So, yeah, it's getting busy and getting busier all the time. And it's great to be in amongst it. I mean, I've got so many memories. Yeah. I miss Harry, as everybody does. You know, Harry with the window down, giving, oh, right, yeah, it's been quite a morning. When in actual fact, not a lot happened. But we miss him, but he was terrific. But there'll be a lot going on tomorrow. I'm thrilled to be such a part of it again.
What's been your favourite one, Jim? Has there been a particular move or just a particular window that stood out for you over the past decade or so?
There have been a few, Mark. Funnily enough, I was talking about this to somebody. Mickey Gray and I were talking about it this morning. You know, Mickey, formerly Sunderland, yeah, for Celtic as well, of course. I mean, the one I do remember was the night that Berbatov went to Manchester United and everybody thought Rubinho was going to go to Chelsea, and he ended up with Mark Hughes at Manchester City. Mesut Ozil going to Arsenal. I mean, that was a massive deal. Even, yeah, Danny Welbeck going to Arsenal. I do remember, I mentioned Harry a moment ago. I remember being on and my phone going in a commercial break, and it was Harry telling me that just in case I was interested, Robbie Keane was in a car going north, and Tottenham were letting him go up to Celtic on loan. And you can remember the impact that made up there. Yeah. I mean, there was about 2,000-3,000 Celtic fans outside Celtic Park to greet him. So, I mean, these are moments that always stick in my mind, I have to say. And, you know, they're all different. They all get the adrenaline pumping, and it's brilliant. It's terrific.
Listen, we know that the professionals in the media, you make it look easy, but you know, imagine you've got your producer going, you've got your phone going, you've got your colleague, you've got your screen in front of you. How difficult is just to keep it all together and make it look as smooth as you do?
Oh, Mark, that's kind of you. I mean, I'm going off my nut at times. I mean, you just got to keep composed, Mark. You're getting a lot of information. I mean, you know what it's like. We're all information gatherers in this business. And it's trying to keep a handle on who's going where and which reporter is it which stadium. Tomorrow will be pretty crazy in actual fact when I think of it, because as you know, there's a full program of games.
Yeah, that's right.
Here in England as well. So, you know, while games are going on and points are very, very important for every club that's competing tomorrow night, they also want to get deals over the line. So there'll be a lot to contend with. But that's what makes it even more exciting, I've got to say. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic, hoping that something you've heard actually gets over the line. And nowadays, with the advent of social media, everybody yeah, wants to play a part in it, and everybody has become a bloody expert. And you've got to be careful that you don't get fed information that is completely. I mean, not that long ago, we had some guy telling me Seven Sisters Station here down in London. Did I know that Kaká was waiting for a train at Seven Sisters Station? I'm like, are you kidding me? If Kaká was in London, he wouldn't be at the railway station, mate. You know, I mean, it gets absolute madness. But who's to say that Kaká won't pitch up tomorrow night? Who knows? I think he's retired, so he's not going to play a part.
Jim, we appreciate your time. Just a couple of minutes longer, if you could. I know Simon Ferry's got something, yeah, he'd like to ask you.
All right, Jim.
Yes, Simon.
One thing, yeah, I want to know is the yellow tie. I love it. Do you wear matching pants and socks as well?
That is a very personal question, but because it's you, Simon, I'll answer in the affirmative. Yes, I'll probably be wearing the yellow boxer shorts and yellow socks tomorrow night. The yellow tie, I have to say, Simon,
that's legendary, isn't it?
5 yards. I was walking around to TalkSport this morning, and these two characters were leaning out a van, giving it, you got the yellow tie, it looks out for tomorrow night. And I always give the stock answer, oh yes, it's in the bedside cabinet. If I could, there are occasions that I would love to burn the yellow tie. I'm asked so often about it. No, never. It's amazing how much attention that attracts. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of the yellow breaking news, the strap that goes every time that there's a story on the go. So the yellow tie is ready, poised and ready to be tied round the neck.
Just quickly, Jim, what do you think of the business done by the Scottish team so far?
Well, there hasn't been much. I mean, you would expect Celtic and Rangers to do some business, but I mean, Mark Greedy and I are so old that we remember when Souness first landed in these parts up there, that he set the ball rolling by bringing this procession of big name players up from England. And I don't think we've really ever recovered from those great, great days when big name players were coming to Scotland to ply their trade and to play up there. We miss people like De Canio playing up in Scotland. Miss people like Henrik Larsen playing, although he wasn't a household name at the time, but certainly became one. And I just wish we could identify more with Scotland when it comes to transfer deadline day. I mean, when Souness was there, we had this procession of people coming up like Butcher and Woods, and then even Gaza further down the line. I wish those days would return. But now, you know, there's been talk about, as I mentioned earlier, will Dembele be in the move? Well, it doesn't look as if he's going to be in the move, does it?
No.
One or two coming in up there. When it gets to the bit that it's headline news that Jason Cummings is joining Rangers, no offence to Jason, but that's the level we're at now. Like Jamie Murphy joining up there. Scotland's got to cut its cloth accordingly. But Scotland will be given, because I'm down here working and still very much want to represent Scotland, Scotland will be given a more than fair crack of the whip with anything that goes tomorrow.
Brilliant, Jim. Final question. Just your thoughts in the second half of the season. Do you see Celtic winning the title and Rangers maybe pulling away and making second place their own?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're spot on. I think it would be that. I mean, I think McInnes and Aberdeen would have something to say about that. But I think that would be the way. I think Graham Murty's done very well, actually, Mark. He deserves a lot of credit. And I think King and the others have got to get behind him. And he should be the man for me long term. But Brendan and Celtic, they hold the baton as long as they want to hold it. You know, they are the club that Celtic are the club that at the moment dominates and will continue to dominate for virtually as long as they like, unless Rangers can really get their act together and get some kind of surge of cash into that football club and start investing in a massively, massively impressive way, then Celtic are there to dominate as long as they want, certainly domestically.
Yeah. Simon, what about that? Jim White on the programme with us, brilliant. Patter's brilliant, and he's right on the ball as well, and he's up to date with everything that's going on.
When you see Jim White, you think he's just winging it, man, but you can see there the preparation that goes into it. Some man, fair play to him.
And his thoughts in the Scotland job, obviously it is something that the whole nation is wanting to find out about. Gordon Strachan, that's 3 months now he's been away. The SFA did go for Mike O'Neill, didn't manage to get it over the line. Scott Gemmell's the latest name that's been mentioned. There's Alec McLeish, as Jim White said there. There's Malky Mackay. There's a few names in the frame. What do you think of some of the contenders?
I think I've seen people saying that Scott Gemmell's now winning a favourite. For me, that'd be a wrong choice. I would rather see big Malky Mackay get it. I mean, Malky Mackay's got a team promoted to the Championship, which...
Cardiff.
Did they win the Championship?
They might have, but they certainly... They got straight promoted up. Straight up.
And held their own in the Premier League. And I remember they were paying big money at that time, so he's dealt with players, big players, you know. Whereas Scott Gemmell, I don't think he's ever managed a first-team game, you know, and I think it'd be quite a mad decision to give Scott Gemmell the Scotland job over Malky Mackay. If Malky Mackay got the job, I don't think it'd be the worst decision. I think he'd be a good manager, Malky Mackay. The people that have played with him, spoke about him, they really like him.
But the thing for me, I totally get Malky Mackay has certainly got the credentials for it. Uh-huh. I'm not questioning that for a minute. He knows his stuff, he knows his football, and I think he would be a good choice for the job. However, bear in mind that I think the job that he has just now as performance director is so crucial to the next, or should be, the next decade of how our game develops. And as much as I see, you know, the first team is a kind of be-all and end-all in Euro 2020 qualification. Bigger picture, if you take Malky out of the role that he's been in, and he's been in it for just over a year now, what does that say about really what we think of the performance director's job?
I think getting the Scotland first team job now would make more benefit to the kids in years to come. I think if we had a good national team right now, it would help the game massively all over the board. Whereas the performance director job, I think you can only do so much. You can do as much as you want, but if the first team are not doing well, then it's hard to bring kids through, I think. If you can get the first team right and doing well, then the kids will follow, I think. And I think there's loads of candidates that can do that job, the performance director. I mean, guys that have been involved in youth academies all their life, I think they can come in and do that, whereas I think the candidates are slim for the first team job.
I suppose as well, when you look at it, you know, Northern Ireland were able to offer Mike O'Neill a fantastic contract, and the back of them bringing in more than £10 million worth of revenue income from qualifying for Euro 2016. So you look at it, Scotland, you know, they've not been there for 20 years. You know, Stuart Regan, the SFA, I'm sure would welcome that cash injection.
I think every job, I mean, even Ferguson at Man United, his first thoughts was, you get the first team right, don't you? You get that right, and then the rest will follow. And obviously, if you get the first team job right, if Malky gets it, who will be passionate on youth, you can get that first team job right, then you can look at, it gives himself some time to look at the younger side and develop that as well.
One of Jim's other many points that he made, he was in great form, wasn't he? He was absolutely brilliant. The yellow
is this his
tie.
Box? Are you going to mention his boxes here?
The yellow tie. He wasn't expecting that question, that's for sure.
I've got the yellow teeth if he wants them.
But the other one he mentioned, Moussa Dembele, he's been linked with a move away from Celtic now for a year since last January and then the summer window, and now we're back to January. Form not as good as it was last season, but still one or two clubs sniffing around. Can you see him being away from Celtic by, you know, close of play tomorrow night?
Nah, I think if you're going to get a move in the January transfer, if you're going to get a big move, you need to be on fire. I think you need to be in great form. If somebody's going to come in and buy you in this window, you need to be flying. Team like Brighton, who are desperate to stay up, I don't think they would sign a striker who's known for.
By all accounts, Dembele didn't fancy that move anyway. It's one that might have been able to develop, but for him, Brighton not the right club for him. So
well,
he
there's a good chance he'll be maybe in the Championship next year, isn't there? They're struggling, Brighton. I don't know if you'd want to leave Celtic to go and play in the Championship. I don't think so. If an established Premier League club who you knew was going to be playing in the Premier League next year came in for him, no doubt he'd want to be away. But I couldn't see him leaving Celtic on both sides, Brighton and Dembele's side, to go to Brighton for Celtic.
And for Dembele just now as well, with Lee Griffiths being injured, and with all respect to Edouard, Dembele is the number one striker at the moment, so it's a chance for him to go and get a run, 4, 5, 6 games, and try and recapture that form that he had last season.
Definitely. I mean, we all know he's got the ability, it's just he's not done it this season. Injuries as well, of course, but when he's played the games that I've seen, he's not done it, and he needs to start doing that. He's still a young kid, it's not like he's an established 28, 29 year old. He's 21 year old, you know, and clubs will look at that and see the inconsistencies, and that'll be putting the big teams off. They want to buy guys that are doing it week in, week out. Every time they play, they're scoring goals, and he's not done that this year. So I think it'd be best for him to get his head down and start scoring goals again, especially if they've got the big game against Zenit coming up. If you could go and impress in that, then I'm sure the big guys would take notice.
Can you see Celtic overcoming Zenit? It's a big, big ask, is it not?
I don't know much about them, to be honest. Obviously, 3 or 4 years ago, they were a decent team. They had some big players, the big boy Hulk and stuff like that. But that break could kill them, eh? I know they've been playing friendlies and stuff like that, but I don't think it makes up for competitive games. I fancy Celtic to beat them, actually.
Okay, one of the other points just to pick up on Jimmy. We were talking earlier in the podcast about Rangers signings, you know, Jamie Murphy, Russell Martin, Greg Docherty, Jason Cummings, Sean Goss, you know, all going to enhance the Rangers team. But Jim was just saying, I know he's reminiscing, he's talking, believe it or not, 32 years ago.
Wow.
When Graeme Souness took over at Rangers, the summer of April 1986, to be.
My mum and dad are just starting to think about me.
Aye, 32 years ago, 1986. And it was a revolution. And you can understand why people of Jim's generation, of my generation, want to see those days return. But I suppose it's just not realistic anymore.
No, even with the Martin O'Neill days, I remember being a young guy at Celtic, and we signed Stefan Henshaw in the January transfer window, and me and the younger boys were saying, oh, signed Stefan Henshaw, oh, who did he come for? Blackburn. Oh, he must be rubbish, man. And Blackburn were a Premier League club, but that's only because we'd had Sutton, Hartson, Larson, and you think, this guy coming for Blackburn, he'll not get a game. You know what I mean? The team's too good, he'll not play. Whereas now, you'd bite your hand off for a guy for the Premiership to come and play for Celtic, you know. But that's just how the standards of the squad was back then. I mean, £6 million for a big Sutton and stuff like that. It was brilliant. The excitement was unreal. You know, a proper big player was coming to, to Scotland. And like you say, it'll be a while before we see the days again, I think.
Just on that, Bobo Baldy, how scary was he up close?
He was actually a lovely guy, man. He had such smooth skin. He was a big boy, and he used to wear biggest studs ever in training, man. Like, sort of, what are you fucking wearing those studs for in training? But, he'd kick anyone, big Bobo. But a lovely man, lovely guy. Big gentle giant.
One of the things Jim mentioned, he's given us a few leads, you know, the bold whitey.
Thought we were back at that last weekend.
Dave King, he's saying, you know, Rangers are doing well, the signings are good, he says, but you know that... The biggest one that's created the most excitement has been Jason Cummins. You can see with the reaction when he scored the second goal for Rangers on Sunday at Ross County. Some of the fans wanted the pitch to celebrate with him, but he's saying that Jim said Rangers need major, major investment to really kick on and really try and get to Celtic. Can you see it happening in the next year or two that investment comes in to cut the gap?
No, I can't see it. I think Rangers will be relying on free transfers and loans for a couple of years yet. And if they could be savvy like they have been, Marty's done well, as I say, with the signings that they've got. I think they'll need to keep getting similar sort of signings for a couple of years yet. If they can get guys on loan for the English Championship, that could be the way to go for a couple of years until they get a bit of money to get back at it. But until they get money again and start buying bigger players, I can only see Celtic winning the league.
And talking about Graham Murty, he's done a good job so far, hasn't he? To be fair to him, under difficult circumstances, he really has taken Rangers and get a bit of stability back.
He does. He seems like quite a likeable guy, Graham Murty. I think if you're a player, you'd quite enjoy playing for him. The thing I like is, I think they try and play the right way. You know, you could get that job and think, right, I'm no doing too great, we'll bash it up to a big centre forward and we'll play for there. But watching them on Sunday, they're passing the ball into midfield, the boy Goss is pinging the ball a bit. Good style of play. And I don't think his record's too bad. Obviously, he's got a good record against Rodgers as well, which no one else in the country has. So, no, fair play to him. He's went in, as you say, first job as a first team manager as well. He's only going to get better, I think.
And just for all our listeners out there, just some breaking news on the Open Goal podcast ticker tape. Elgin have upped their bid for Simon. They're now offering three Iron Brew bottles and a box of Turnips tea cakes for Simon. Simon, you interested?
There'll be an open top bus in Elgin tomorrow if I sign there. Don't worry about that. Biggest thing that'll happen to Elgin in 100 years.
But surely Peterhead don't want to let you go.
Och, I don't know. Depends how much they can get. Nah, no chance. We're going to win the league. We need me. Believe me.
What happened on Saturday against Clyde?
Never, we weren't at it. To be fair, it was the conditions were terrible. Very windy. Danny Lennon's got Clyde working hard, but we've got Berwick tonight. We need to start winning again. And then Montrose is the big one on Saturday.
Of course, yeah.
Top of the table class, so all the boys better be in their bed at 9:30 on Friday night, and I'll be happy.
Certainly. Before we go, just to finally end it off, between now and the close of the window tomorrow night, up in Scotland, are you expecting, apart from your own move, are you expecting anything dramatic, anything that's going to grab the headlines and have Jim's yellow tie fluttering about?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think there'll be any big ones, really. I think Celtic might get a keeper in because of Gordon. What do you think?
Trevor Carson.
I played with Trevor at Portsmouth. Good goalie. Very good goalie. Don't know if he's as good with his feet as what the manager likes.
But I suppose it's meant to be cover for Doris de Vries, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he'd be able to do that, Trev. I think he's been involved in Northern Ireland. He's been at tournaments and stuff like that, so it wouldn't really faze him. Don't think he'd be the worst signing.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, as always, Simon Ferry. Thanks to Jim White for joining us from London, for taking time out from his busy schedule in the next 48 hours to come on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground, even not keeping your feet in your ground.
Always
we'll do that. We'll do
it.
Keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks very much for listening, and we will catch up with you next week. Have a good week. Cheers.